Go to Sports Saturday. Special guest up today as John Schemmel, University of South Dakota Athletic Director, joins us here. He's been on the job for about 12 months in Vermilion, although it's his second term in Vermilion working for USD. And John, first off, thanks for visiting with us. I know you're a busy guy.
No problem. Happy to do it and excited to talk with you, Jeff.
Well, let's look back. As I said, I think it's been 16 months. You've been on the job now. You started right at the beginning of the year, 2024. And as you jumped in, you've seen a lot of positives in the university. I know you've had to hire a couple of coaches, had a great fall last year between football and volleyball. A lot of things to like about how your first 16 months have went.
Yeah, for sure. I think, we're kind of in an environment that never lets you really settle. You're kind of, just expecting something to be different a little bit every day. But, at its core, USD has always stood for all the right things, and it's been a very special place for us. And yeah, I really am excited about, the first full year, just kind of, a lot of things are changing. Staff is changing. You're kind of setting the vision and moving forward and trying to adapt to a new environment. But, our student athletes continue to just be incredible young men and women, and they do all the right things in the classroom and the community. And obviously we had an incredible fall with volleyball and football, but even cross country soccer making the tournament and taking SDSU to overtime in the first round. And it was a really good fall I think basketball, seeing the men's team pick up momentum, indoor track season, there's never really a dull moment. Swimming had some really great individual performances in the finals. So it's been a great year, and spring sports are off and running, and outdoor season for track and field's about to start, and football's rolling now in spring. So it's constantly busy, and portals are always open or someone's playing, so it's never a dull moment these days.
Well, you mentioned track and field. I thought we just need to mention that. I think they kind of go sometimes by pole vault U, but while we've had a lot of success there with pole vault, really the track and field program's just been solid all around.
100%. I think, going back to Gott's days and obviously Lucky and Nolan now on the cross country side is an immensely talented up and coming coach. Obviously Derek, but yeah, I think we have some fun with the Pole Vault U brand, but certainly it's a team and a program effort that continues to excel. They're finishing in the top two or three almost every year, indoor outdoor, we'll continue to have those high expectations, and as we look to expand our facility footprint here too. Trying to have a real indoor track set up is a big priority for us, not only for the track program, but also our end goal is to have the Dakota Dome be a turf down facility and try to really be able to take care of all of our student athletes much better than we have. But track is always an important program for us and always will be, at least as long as I'm here.
You mentioned that about track and field, and I always kind of look at it with most any college. If you're not building something, you're not trying. And, hey, your swim and dive, they have a new home that's finally been a longer wait than they expected. But swim and dive has a new home ready to go.
Yes, which is incredibly exciting. The pool, the water is out of a dome pool. I got to say, I feel terrible for the seniors this year that we're expecting to go into a new pool. Not only do we have to swim in the dome for another year, we had all kinds of problems throughout the year. I do appreciate those student athletes, especially those seniors who just kept a really good attitude about it through the ups and downs of it all. But we are really excited to get into the new pool and swim and dive, their locker rooms, offices, everything moving over there. I went through it for the first time. I make myself wait until it's really close to done before I ever start really doing tours. So I went over there and saw it, and it's just a little bit of an upgrade, that's for sure. But a full-size Olympic pool and really something that's exciting for us as we look in the next year and the future.
Well, look at the business side of things. You know, the fun part is what we do see in the field of competition on the courts and everything, but there's so much more that goes into college athletics these days. And I was kind of looking back at some of your interviews when you first got the job just to kind of get a gist of a few things. And you said at the time, you know what, it's an ever-changing field, college athletics. Here you are 16 months later, and probably things don't look a lot like they did back in January of 2024.
They really don't. I actually, you know, even just with our structure and setup administratively and staff, you know, I think department wide we've probably turned over almost 40% now in a year, less than a year and a half. And you know, certainly was coming in directly intending to change some things and some people, you know, didn't anticipate it would go like that necessarily, but feel great about where we are and where we're going. But I think the biggest thing is just making sure we're set up for success, not only for what's going on today, but for where I and we see this going, and, you know, ultimately preparing to rev share and setting up, you know, making sure if and when the time comes to opt into the settlement that we're prepared to do that. And, you know, it's more just kind of pushing a button. But, yeah, I mean, what the NCAA looked like 2 years ago is completely irrelevant to what it looks like today. And I would imagine on some level the way it looks today will be pretty irrelevant to what it looks like a year or two or three from now.
And talking with John Schemmel, he is the athletic director at the University of South Dakota. You mentioned the settlement. Let's just go right there. I guess I call it the NCAA House Settlement. It may have other names as well. First off, tell us really what it is and how does it affect schools like South Dakota?
Yeah, so the House Settlement is the one getting a lot of attention amongst the dozens and dozens of lawsuits that have been going on. But essentially, the House Settlement is, it pulled together a lot of different lawsuits, and for the first time we'll actually set up a format where you can revenue share directly with student athletes. So as opposed to necessarily being forced to run things through a third-party collective or other things like that, you are very much just like we would say we have $1 million put aside for our travel budget this year in whatever sport, we would then say, okay, we have $1 million or $2 million to revenue share with our student athletes, and that's the predominant driver. Now, there's a lot of roster limits that are imposed if you choose to opt in. We are not opting in for next year, and all four Dakota schools have publicly stated that our intent is not to opt in for next year. But that's, again, that's something that continues to ebb and flow, and we'll see how it goes. So not opting in, you know, for us, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't put us at any real disadvantage there. We can still do all the things that you can do if you chose to opt in. The difference for us is we're not then governed by the roster limits being imposed. And then we do still have to have a third-party collective. We can't just direct revenue share with our student athletes. And so those are really the two biggest differences that jump out. And, you know, I think a couple things for us. I mean, state of South Dakota, you know, the Attorney General's office has a lawsuit ongoing, you know, us opting in. You know, would kind of work somewhat against that, and certainly that's something we just appreciate them advocating, and I feel like they're advocating for us, but I feel like they're, you know, advocating for a lot of schools around the country with the things that they're doing, but we really have no direct involvement in that. Justin Settle and I don't, so that's still ongoing, so there's still just a lot of things that need to shake out, but I think the biggest things and the reasons for us not to opt in, we felt like there was a little bit of an advantage to not have any roster limits in place as all these roster cuts and limits are being imposed. And we've seen that come to fruition a few different times already in different sports. And I think from there, you know, if we're going to opt into something, I want to know what it is. And there's a real lack of clarity on exactly what it means. And, you know, outside of revenue share and roster limits, there's a thousand different things that that go into something like this. And there's a real lack of clarity and understanding universally as to what opting in really means. And so, and for us, I think just kind of waiting to see that come to fruition. And I'd rather make a decision with a lot of information as opposed to making a decision with a little bit and just doing it because everybody else is. And so, I think that we feel good about where we're positioned right now, but we're constantly evaluating that as decisions are made, and obviously this court case here in the next week, we'll see what comes of it and respond accordingly.
You know, and again, some of the other magic keywords there, NIL, many people don't know that stands for name, image, and likeness, then also transfer portal. Are all these just kind of a dance that all goes together?
Well, it's certainly not a structured dance. it's not, if it was a dance, it would just be a melee party and people going crazy on the dance floor. But it's madness. It's chaotic. There's really no caps on, and you're seeing it right now with the basketball portal being open. Starters for Power 4 schools or Autonomy 4 schools, whatever you want to call them. They're paying, we're hearing upwards of $3 to $5 million, $2 to $4 million in that range for starters. Those are just crazy numbers. You're making a lot more in college than you might in the NBA. And I think that in and of itself is a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm all for these athletes making money. But I would really like to get to a point where there is some type of regulation and consistency in this and really understanding a market as opposed to, just constantly chasing. Because no matter what, then, the schools that are paying $2, $3, $4 million, that's well outside of just the revenue share, obviously, because you can rev share up to $20 million. Well, you're not going to pay one person 20% of that, even if you have the money to do it. So it's all being run through the collectives. It's not Pepsi or Nike stepping up and paying this, it's just donors. So if it continues to just be uncapped or unregulated in any way, it comes down to the same 10 schools, Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama's of the world that have pretty deep pockets and pretty big schools with massive donor bases that are always just going to pay more. And it just makes it really hard to understand and continue to build a team. And I think, it's becoming a little bit more normal. Coaches are adapting to figuring out, okay, half my roster is going to turn over every year, so I got to be ready to plan for that. So it becomes just a little bit of your arsenal, and then you're obviously trying to build your structure around how best to support these changes and these systems. Because what I will say is, regardless of regulation, any other controls, any other caps, this isn't changing, right? The portal's not going anywhere. NIL's not going anywhere, nor should it. But there just needs to be some consistency in what we're doing, just to try to have fair play, whether that's within levels, conferences, whatever it is. So I'm eager for that. I do hope there's a day in the near future, in the next couple years, where some type of regulation comes in. But that market all gets set with bigger schools, right? And then it's just a trickle-down effect to us. We're certainly not trying to compete, with Alabama and the Big Ten and things like that. Our kids love to compete against them and try to prove them wrong and go beat them. But, we're not telling coaches our expectations are to go play Nebraska every year and beat them. So it's allowing us to focus on what we need to, where we need to be focusing as far as kind of the competition levels, what schools and conferences should we be paying attention to that we want to make sure we're staying ahead of and or in touch with. And obviously that starts with the four Dakota schools for us.
Okay, well, let's just kind of go back a little more locally. You mentioned the four Dakota schools, so that's, your Summit, Missouri Valley, and that's kind of where I wanted to go next. I promised just one or two more questions for you, but, USD, South Dakota State, the two North Dakota schools kind of have a unique position here. You're really a member of two conferences, the Summit for everything but football, the Missouri Valley Football Conference. So, been talk about can we merge those two together? Where do we stand on that? How would that work?
Yeah, I think I will say there's been some good progress made just on, I think there is commitment between the schools that are split between the Valley and the Summit League, but are together in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. I do think there's commitment, at least for the immediate future, of keeping those schools together, and we are walking the path of some different ideas that will allow each conference to kind of grow independently and do some things, but also keep the Missouri Valley Football Conference together. You know, and then I think as far as the Four Dakota schools go, and we've all been pretty open about this, I think we're all committed to playing at whatever the second highest level of football is, right? Which right now that's the FCS, and that's the second national championship there is. As that ebbs and flows, and there's a lot of discussion about Autonomy 4 schools maybe just breaking off completely, especially in football, but I think also universally now, if that were to happen and all of a sudden FBS or the G5 becomes that second level, I think the Dakota schools are all committed to making sure that that we're aligned and prepared to compete at that level. And so I think, you know, while there's comfort and satisfaction in some of the things that are going on immediately, you know, it's impossible to predict and say that you know, we now know exactly how this is going to play out, and 5 years from now it's going to look this way. We just don't know. There's just so many unknowns yet. But I am very encouraged about what's transpired over the last 6 months, especially in keeping those schools together and obviously paying a lot of attention and having a lot of discussions with the Dakota school ADs and making sure we try to stay aligned as best we can.
Okay, we wrap it up with this. Let's just talk about USD. Let's talk about Vermilion. Obviously, as I said, you're 16 months in. I know you had your vision coming in. Where's that vision? Does it shift anything? I mean, you got so many things from facilities to revenue. There's so many things on your plate. What is the vision here moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, the great thing for us is, you know, I, a few weeks in, kind of had a bigger vision as far as what we needed to accomplish from a fundraising standpoint. We put together very quickly a $100 million kind of sprint, I called it, a 3 to 5 year sprint to raise an additional $100 million. We're well on our way to that. Our capital project plan, we're about to finalize renderings for that. It's not quite a full comprehensive master facility plan. We still got to get a plan for softball done, but directly the indoor track facility and then renovating the east side of the dome and turning the dome into a turf down facility is a big part of that. Those two projects will end up being somewhere $80 to $85 million, and like I said, we'll have renderings done here in the next several weeks for those, and then, you know, the rest of it is just preparing in particular, and what this new structure and model has forced every school to do is really identify what your revenue-generating sports are and make sure you're investing in those accordingly. And part of that investment for us is making sure we're prepared to rev share, you know, probably $1 to $2 million with football, basketball, volleyball will be those key sports for us, and probably in the near future, right? So it's, even though we're not in the big NIL game and paying student athletes $1 million, we are already in that game. We are doing things like Alston funding and other things for those four sports. Our every single month, it seems like we have more student athletes on with NIL deals through the collective. We're kind of walking the plan that was pretty consistent. You know, pretty early on, we knew we had to get into the collective and NIL space. We really weren't in it at all when I got here, and doing the things to make sure we're not losing touch, you know, with our competitors and who we see as our peers. And I think we've done a pretty good job of preparing for that. We still got a lot of work to do, and then I think just overall the fiscal responsibility and being a really good partner to campus here has been a huge priority, and I really commend our team and how far we've come in a pretty short amount of time. You know, I was eyes wide open. I knew what I was walking into, just with our budget and some of the challenges that we have. or had, and we've been able to really flip the script on that in a short amount of time with a lot of new support, but also just some different strategies and structures in place, obviously new people, different ideas. So it feels really good. I feel a hell of a lot better today than I did in the middle of January. I can promise you that. And so I'm really excited about where we are, but more excited about where we seem to be going and where people seem to be stepping up and responding. And obviously just feel great about our coaches and our staff. And so, you know, it's been a great 15, 16 months, whatever it's been, but I can't wait for the next 16 and beyond to roll through.
Fun interview. University of South Dakota Director of Athletics John Schimmel took over the job at the beginning of last year, now in his second year heading up the Coyote Athletic Department. That'll wrap up this edition of Dakota Sports Saturday. Twins baseball coming up later today. Up next, though, Territorial Rodeo Update brought to you by Premier Equipment of Huron. Thanks for listening to Dakota Sports Saturday on KOKK.